While the physics of the infinite, this is what we're going to jump into this week. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. This is Shatter the Darkness live broadcast. Hey, listen, welcome to 101.3 Boulder, Nevada. And we want to say welcome to all those listening satellite-wise, internet-wise, and to all those that are going to download from all over the world. Listen to the Russians, the Chinese, Europeans, those in India. Listen, all the places that we kind of put a special message out to last week. We're grateful for the thousands of new downloads, especially in the Russian Federation and also in China. I want to welcome you right now listening, and it's great to be friends, great to be with you, great to be here, feeling the presence of God and knowing the joy that God gives life and the life to come. And it involves physics. It's just the physics of the infinite that we sometimes, overwhelmingly cannot scratch into. We've got a special word, a message today and tomorrow to Stephen Hawking. I'm reading the book, The Grand Design. World famous physicist sitting in that chair. I watched the documentary. I'm going to tell you about it in a few moments. This week on Shatter the Darkness, shatterthedarkness.net on the web, we have The Physics of the Infinite, subtitled here, Grand Design, and then underneath, listen, where no angel can look, what man cannot discover, and what no demon has copied, the physics of the infinite. Now listen, if you're a believer in Christ without even knowing the phrase or having to know the phrase, the physics of the infinite, well, it's all over you. God's way, God's miracle, God's presence, God's power. It does involve this, and there's a specific use of the word atomic in the scripture. Well, from 2,000 years ago, this term is used in reference to what's to come. An exertion of the power of God that takes mortal humanity, redeemed, but mortal, and makes us indestructible with irrevocable immortality. And so, thus, the physics of the infinite. There's so much that God is, God does, that is really beyond us. It's not that we can't inquire. I mean, the scriptures are filled with invitations to come to God. But I want to say this very clearly. There are those that simply will not go to God for insight and for wisdom. And all of their wisdom and all of their knowledge and everything about them, well, it's built, it's literally their own house of cards. And some stand very boldly shouting that their house of cards, well, that's all there is and ever was or ever will be. We're going to take a look into this tonight as we start Monday night, December the 20th, 6 p.m. here. With the message, part one anyway, to Stephen Hawking. Tonight it's Through Time and Space. The future bows to the physics of the infinite, since the future is always finite and limited. Infallible prediction, God is coming to your home. A challenge to the Grand Inquirer. Stephen Hawking. Now, Tuesday night, Grand Communication. Wednesday night, The Infinite in the Bottle of Time, Space, and Humanity. Thursday, A Grand University for Angels, Demons, and Crippled Humanity. And then Friday, What Luciferians, Can Never Taste, Feel, or See. Silent Night Forever. Don't forget to look on the webpage, shatterthedarkness.net, for the up-and-coming 2011-2012 series, Two Rivers, South of Heaven, North of Hell. It begins January 2011, only about 11 days away. And listen, did you know that tonight is the lunar eclipse? Now, I've got on the webpage, and I'm going to tell you ahead of time that it's kind of a new age video. And I put a note to the left of it. The lunar eclipse has been globalized. and how Luciferic globalism, and listen, the only way to describe the growing globalism that some say looks like socialism or godless socialism, listen, the only way to really describe the rise of the cry for globalized political, economic, military, environmental concerns and spiritual, well, Luciferic globalism. There is a globalism coming when the Prince of Peace returns, but the counterfeit will strike first, and with the pinnacle of deception comes the pinnacle of destruction. That is the constant warning of biblical prophetic revelation. The infinite, uncreated Spirit of God has said this again and again. In a pictorial and dramatic fashion, that communication is released. Revelation chapter 6, the four horsemen and all that that cataclysm reveals. And you can feel it in the air. And let me mention before I touch on the lunar eclipse, we try to do this all the time. And actually now people are sending me the alert for satanic rituals for the hundreds of thousands, millions of those of you in United States, Canada, Australia, England, all across Europe, and even in Russia, satanic ritual abuse, MPD, DID, chosen ones in the coming chaos, tonight, tomorrow, and the next day, obviously the big rituals for the solstice. Now, with the lunar eclipse and the blood moon, this only means that there's going to be a deeper drawing. Now, even the Wiccans and the Druids and many others, New Agers, are going, there's going to be many that are going to want to grasp the energies and open gateways beyond the veil. So tonight, the 20th and the 21st, tomorrow, the Satanic Ritual Alert is up there on the screen, shatterthedarkness.net, and that's one of the calendars. There's a number of others out that even now have more information. But it involves yesterday, today, abduction, holding for ceremony. It involves animal, human sacrifices and so forth. And all the way to the, well, literally the 24th. And please understand, when it comes to whatever you think about Christmas, the paganism behind it, the commercialism behind it, the quest also to want to glorify Christ, nothing wrong with that. I have no apologies for being able to say and bring out the revelation of, the history of, the coming, the conception, the birth, and the life, the words of Jesus Christ. So it's not a time to be silent concerning him amidst all the other engagement and controversy. And regardless of positions there, I'm sure every believer knows that every day is a great day to bring out the glories of Christ and how he came into the world. And we're going to touch on that here in a little bit when we deal with John's Gospel chapter 1. But just as there are those kind of celebrations out there that folks have called Christian and so forth, behind the veil, behind the secret power of lawlessness, the ancient goddess worship, and literally the Satanist, they're going to do rituals in contrast to. And they'll do many different things. And you and I've got to realize they're going to do rituals that involve the summoning of powers and the sending of powers. The old way, you got to just knock it out of your brain. They're not just going to go summon powers, get possessed, fall on the ground, and have some orgies. Although they do that too. This involves the summoning of power for the advancement of the cause. Luciferic globalism. The promise of an evolution, a homo lumos, homo deity, those kind of things. And see, literally, the occult revelation or the dark side revelation has ideology that has bled into transhumanism, bled into the political, economic, all the other realms. So it's all developing. And so the weird thing was finding this video today. Somebody sent me a different one, but I found this particular one and I put it on the website. And I'm going to play it and I'm going to read and comment on some of the actual things that it says as we listen. So here's, and if you've got the website up, you can take a look at it yourself. But I'm going to go through, and it says December 21st, 2010. It's got some spacey music behind it. Maybe you'll hear that too. Winter solstice. Here it goes. The December full moon, showing three blood red moon. The total lunar eclipse. Nothing wrong with this so far. These three events have not synchronized since 1703. Synchronized. Don't forget the term synchronicity. A major term. And I think it does bring into to bear the dark side's counterfeit to the providence of God. Now, some of you are listening by the providence of God. Some of you are here by the providence of God. Some of you will receive this as, or maybe get it on Facebook or get it somewhere else by the providence of God. Many of you downloading the archives later on. Now, what do I mean by the providence of God? By the arrangement of God, the design of God, that God would bring to you a message of the immensity of Christ, as we talk about the physics of the infinite, literally revealed in the person of Jesus, and his love for you and his pursuit of you. If you're a believer, may you be encouraged by that. Listen, I'm going to continue with this video. Here we go. Beginning at 11:27 p.m. Central Standard Time, December 20th. That's tonight. Tonight. The moment of the greatest eclipse is 2:17 a.m. Central Time. That'll be where big rituals will be done too. That's where the drawing of powers. Now it's going to end at 5:06 a.m. Central Standard Time, the 21st, tomorrow. This video shows beautiful pictures. Now hold on now. Here comes the phrase that I don't want you to miss. Our planet, listen now, our planet, our moon, and our sun are inviting us all to share in a moment in time with each other. Now think about this now. The planet, the moon, the sun. The earth, the moon, the sun. The earth, the moon, the sun. They are inviting us all to share a moment in time with each other. Are they? Is it the planet that calls? Is it the moon that calls? Is it the sun that calls? Or is that a diversion? Now, the Bible teaches that all of creation pours forth speech. The heavens declare the glory of God. That's how I take it. That's how I receive it. And when it comes to the communication, then I can communicate in praise, in fellowship, in feeling God inside and all over me as I rejoice in his creation. The planet, awesome. The moon, awesome. The sun, awesome. Nobody's going to take that away and spiritualize it in the New Age sense for me. The planet, the moon, and the sun literally pour forth the speech to say, listen. The invisible qualities of God, his divine power, his eternal nature, that's all revealed by creation. The physics of the infinite, grand design. But no, this is going to be turned into one of those, once again, a subtle kind of Luciferic diversion. Here it goes on. The next phrase, when humans work collectively to solve global issues, there's always profound results. Now, when I think in terms of this video saying the earth, the moon, and the sun are calling us, I think in terms of Romans chapter 1. When by suppressing the truth of the glory of God and the truth of God, by wickedness. There's an exchange that humanity, fallen humanity, and spiritually guided in this by the prince of the power of the air, has literally exchanged the glory of God for the finite, for created things. The earth is awesome as a creation of God. It is finite. The moon and the sun, awesome creation of God, and needed to be where they are as we live on this planet. But finite and part of creation, not the creator. The call to listen to created objects, and then saying that when we work to solve global issues, here now the video points to a broader Luciferic, throw God out, bring a substitute light. This is an invitation to participate in a global consciousness. Now, I've got to stop there for a second. After it brings in the earth, the moon, and the sun, after it speaks about the good thing about joining together for the common good of the globe, okay, here we then have this phrase. Listen to it carefully. This is an invitation to participate in a global consciousness. You're going to hear that all through 2011. This is the term global consciousness, that we're going to be able to yield and tap in to a consciousness. The Akashic Records, the whole of records, the field. We're going to be able to somehow in the entanglement of everything, somehow we're going to be able to vibrate and touch and receive. So the idea is, again, global consciousness. I did a series on the global mind, a book that was put out called The Global Brain, and the concept of a real presence out there, some form of presence that emanates energy. And again, that's explained in Ephesians 2. There is the prince of the power of the Eros, the immediate dense atmosphere. There is a global consciousness, a presence operative in the world, in the air, on the ground, in lives, in philosophies, in science, in the development of physics. Yeah, a lot of those that are jumping deep into quantum theory, they're also embracing New Age spirituality, old pantheistic concepts of spirituality. A global consciousness. Now listen, you're going to hear it again and again and again. I'm going to tell you right now, it comes right off the pages of a book written in the 1930s by Alice Bailey and many other New Age and old occult writers. Global consciousness, the pointing to a presence that cannot be completely defined, but it's there, and there's energy there, and we need to tap into it, and we need to get passive, and we need to receive it, and we need to be connected. All the while, behind that mask is the same lethal presence that stood in the garden, rose up against David and Israel, was there waiting for the Christ child to be born so it could destroy. And all over the world, millions have felt the breath. Yes, sleep paralysis and voices in the head and possessions. And, let's go on a little bit in this video. An invitation to participate in global consciousness? I don't think so. Not that presence. Now it says this, imagine countless people. Here's what the video says. And if you're watching it, think through these concepts. Imagine, this is what they want. This is literally kind of a spiritual a proclamation and a promotion. Imagine countless people sharing the moment marked by this eclipse on the darkest, longest night of the year. And again, I'm going to tell you that old occultists, real Satanists, Luciferians, even Druids and Wiccans and New Agers and many others, pagans, they're going to use this night in the summoning of energies and powers and drawing the powers and, in the deepest sense, summoning them and sending them to advance the cause. Will this open broader doorways? Yes. If hundreds of millions of people worldwide open wide to the collective consciousness, this presence, this evolving, penetrating message. So imagine, as the video says, millions of individuals joining together on the darkest, longest night of the year. Here goes on again a little bit further. Just a couple moments more of this. United in one mindset. Now listen to this. United in one mindset. Now it says, focusing on compassion towards self and all others. And again, that could sound good. I mean, look at Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. Here now is God in human flesh, and he's before everybody. And it says literally that Jesus was filled with compassion, and he healed the man. He also there proclaimed salvation to all. He also kicked out the demonic presence in a demonized man. All in chapter 1 of the Gospel of Mark. Listen, you could read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all compassion, who comforts us, parakletos, who comes right alongside and comforts us in all of our troubles, so that with the comfort we receive from God, we can then give to others in their time and help them. We can be ministered to directly by God and then be able to better minister to other people. You know who make the good counselors? Those who have been through a lot of things and they have turned to the Father of compassion. They have received the comfort. They received the instruction. They received the guidance. They received the compassion. They received the embrace, the Spirit of the Lord, you know, strengthening us and giving us a word and lifting the countenance of our face and releasing us, giving us instruction on how to live. And so when we can take that then and help others. Now this is again the flip side or the alternative. This is again is going to ultimately this desire that you move towards an emerging presence in the atmosphere, in the air, in the collective unconscious. Just beyond the veil, the presence of this, the energy of this is moving humanity to a oneness, a globalism, focusing on compassion towards self and all others. Now, before I let the last few seconds of this video run and share the last part of it, the striking issue here is the absolute absence of God. You could literally take a magic marker right across your screen on top of this video, Romans chapter 1, verse 18 on down. They exchange the glory of God for created things. Fallen mankind under deep spiritual active seduction, deception. Instead of the embrace of the Creator, the glory of God. It's an exchange for the created things. I always wondered how sentient, how alive creation is. Because Romans 8 talks about it being sentient and alive and feeling and groaning and knowing that redemption is coming. All of creation should be able to turn back to the New Ager and literally grab you by the shoulders and say, stop it. We know why we are in bondage. Sin. Satan's presence, a toxic effect. There's decay going on. That's where the radical evil is coming. Stop worshiping us as we're just creation. Look to the Creator. See from us, we point to his divine nature, his eternal, you know, power, his invisible qualities. So I encourage you, in light of this video, if you see it on the ShatterTheDarkness.net website. Study out Romans chapter 1, verse 18 on down. Now, I'm going to finish out this video real quick here. Listen. United in one mindset, focusing on compassion towards self and all others. Now, that sounds nice. Again, thrusting God out of the picture completely, showing the beautiful blue planet. Here's what it says. Just simply recognize this is all we have. Stop. Just simply recognize that this is all we have. This is all we have. This video is the epitome of exchanging the glory of God. And let me say this in a message to Stephen Hawking, world-renowned physicist, brilliant thinker, author, speaker. Because in the new book, The Grand Design, it has the same concept. In the creation, and I'm looking at my screen right now, and I see a picture of the beautiful blue planet. Supposedly a picture from the moon down. And it is awesome. It is absolutely beautiful. It speaks of me of the beauty of God. It speaks of me of the physics of the infinite and grand design. As the Earth, we couldn't be one planet forward or one planet backward. We got to be right here. Right here to get the warmth of the sun. Right here to be tilted and to do our revolutions. Right here where there's air to breathe and water to drink. Right here. Grand design. Not by the laws of physics. Now, if you're listening right now, we just noticed to our right that there is a problem. And I think that we're okay now, anyway. Let me look to my left here. We got interrupted. I apologize. And it looks like everything is working fine, but my computer here to the right gave us a little glitch. Maybe somebody's trying to interrupt and bless them anyway. Because this is the core issue. This is the core issue that even one of the most brilliant individuals in the world, a grand inquirer. That's my term of endearment, literally. I'm fond of Stephen Hawking. Now, I'm not fond of his conclusions because I see them empty and arrogant in places, which I'm going to read to you in a little bit. But that doesn't exchange or that I don't want to have an exchange with him. A discussion with a human being. Because what I have inside and what I have with me is absolutely astounding. Now I'm looking to my right again and I'm seeing whether or not we have an interruption. I don't know if we do or not. So listen, I'm looking to my right. We have a difficulty in the communications right now, and I'm not sure what it is. It shows that we are still on live that I can see, but I'm not sure. So we're going to continue until we hear anything different from Global Star, and we are at 29 minutes, 42 seconds. Apologize for the temporary... But I have on my screen in front of me this simple little video. And I've got to go over those words again, so I don't want to lose us in this conversation. Just simply recognize. That's what this video is telling people to do. Recognize that this is all we have. That is part of the methodology and strategy of Luciferic, spirit-inspired globalism. Take your eyes off of God, focus everything on humanity, allow the powers that be guide you into compassionate, futuristic, globalism. The video goes on to say these words. During the eclipse, join in prayer, meditation, and project compassion. Now the question is, who are you praying to? Who are you going to pray to? That's a big issue here. Is this all about intent, New Age intention? The video concludes with just breathtaking pictures of space. Again, describing, if I can tell you about what I see on the screen here, it says, you can create unity. That's the end of the video. You can create unity. Well, listen, I wanted to put that up there just to let you know again that the concept, if we do some spiritual analyzing of what's behind even a YouTube video like this for the eclipse tonight, well, that thin masquerade that speaks of unity, globalization, compassion, but is moving the listener, the viewer, to void themselves of God. No mention of God, exclusion. You know, let's get God off the map. And it's just us. And then it involves you in some kind of spiritual practice of meditation, prayer, and intention. Well, the physics of the finite is what we're talking about tonight. And I hope that we are still live with you tonight. And I'm going to take a look at some of our emails coming in to make sure. Let us know that if you're hearing live tonight, because our computers here are showing us that we are connected. Of course, the archives will be up if you ever do miss the archives when we have shows like this. But tonight, don't forget again the ritual alert issue. Take a look at it. I also want to bring an alert issue that I think is very important. I really do. I looked at a couple of notes concerning George Soros again, and one of those things that I heard once again today, news media individual, is just simply what he's been spouting about taking control of existing media. So listen, there's going to be a battle for all of this. George Soros wants to influence the United States of America and influence our, you know, government, influence our elections, and take over existing media and or create their own and silence many of us out here. So I think it's vital for all believers to understand the ability they have in fierce prayer to pray against the spirit of Antichrist, to pray against the controlling, enslaving presence of the spirit of Antichrist wherever you see it. Pray for the redemption of humanity. Pray for the advance of the kingdom of God. And listen, we've got some stuff up on our website about becoming powerful in prayer, and shortly we're going to release the book, Awesome Grace, Awesome Power, that deals with the supernatural side and the powerful, incredibly powerful influence the church can have. But as I write this, and as I'm finishing up, and as I'm thinking through this, and trying to participate in that supernatural, powerful influence that the church can be, well, guess what? I'm looking, and I thank Tim, a friend of mine from out west, sending this, the Barna Group. Some have heard about the Barna Research Group. Some like them, some don't. But listen to the title of this. Six mega themes emerge from Barna Group research in 2010. I'm going to go over them all six, but just real quickly, the first few. Number one, the Christian church is becoming less theologically literate. That's sad. Number two, Christians are becoming more ingrown and less outreach-oriented. That's Laodicean. That's Sardis. Number three, growing numbers of people are less interested in spiritual principles and more desirous of learning pragmatic solutions for life. But it's biblical spiritual principles that give the best pragmatic solutions for life. It's the wisdom of God that gives us the direction. Listen, right into this, I remember Isaiah 48, where we're told that the Lord our God, our Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, teaches us what is best and leads us in the way we should go. Number four in this massive, massive research for 2010, they're saying number four, among Christians, interest in participating in community action is escalating. But I want to say this, make sure that you're not sidetracking your walk and your work for the kingdom of God, for the mission of God. If you're going to do a soup kitchen, do it in the name of Christ. Bring evangelism in. Bring prayer for healing. And you're going to need prayer for deliverance. If you're having street people coming in, they need deliverance. Many of them. Not all of them. Many of them do. That's why they're hearing voices. That's why they're out there laying in the streets with no one to help them. Go back to Mark chapter 1. Go back to Mark chapter 5. Who was going to help the naked man in the cemetery that had been bound with chains? Nobody could help him until Jesus showed up. Point number five, the postmodern insistence on tolerance is winning over the church, the Christian church. Now, tolerance, gays in the military, come on. Listen, the real story is not being told because of the issues of sexual lust, men in the men's shower room, women in the women's shower room, and all the complexities. I think the real voice that the media should look to is thousands and thousands of ex-gay individuals telling the world that it was a choice, it was bondage, it was damaging, it was wrong, I'm free from it now, Jesus Christ brought me out of it, and living life as a man or as a woman, and I had folks that were ex-gays, ex-lesbians that were married and had children. They were willing to tell about their lives as they once were. So a good word to all gays and lesbians. God says you can come out of it. Don't be stuck by gay activists saying you can never get out, that you're born that way. God says you can come out of it. There is healing, there is cleansing, there is forgiveness, there is God's ability to help you. Now, listen, the insistence on tolerance. Do you tolerate a pedophile in your neighborhood? Do you tolerate a rapist like up in Long Island where the four ladies were found dead? And do you tolerate that? Listen, tolerating evil is not good. Tolerating what is wrong is not good. Even for you and I, tolerating sin in our own lives, not good. Destructive. Always. Anyway, I'm preaching on the wrong points tonight. Point number six is this. And this is the main one I wanted to hit. In light of the book coming out, I might even put this principle as in the book and as a shocking revelation of the current situation. I'm sure you're going to agree with it, though. Here's what it says. Point number six about Barna Research Group 2010, about all the Christian church, Christianity. Here's the actual word. The influence of Christianity on culture and individual lives is largely invisible. Do you hear what I said? They're saying in this massive research, right now, the influence of Christianity on culture, the media, the arts, everything about culture, life, society, townships, cities, television, life in general. The influence of Christianity on culture and individual lives is largely invisible. The idea, largely non-existent. That should bring us to absolute tears and outrage. We should rip our shirts off and cry out to God. This is not what the supernatural Christ building a church that involves salvation and healing and deliverance, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, house the homeless, and the supernatural invasion of the Spirit of God, the giftings, the signs, wonders, and the living presence of Christ. If you can go to church anywhere, whether it's a home church, if you can go and walk away and not experience involvement with God, then the church collectively, whether it's a small place or a large place, something is desperately wrong. Sardis, once alive, it became dead. Was there element? Did Jesus reveal how it could be fixed? Absolutely. Remember what you have received, what you have experienced, and put, listen, to repent and put that back into practice. And the presence and the power and the grace and the mercy and the majesty and the operating, living personal presence of God in Christ will be all over us. And just like in the book of Acts, all of the city knew of the powerful, supernatural, advancing influence of the love, grace, power, might of God, which included the destruction of radical, demonic, satanic evil. Well, that's just an unbelievable thing that is part of the intro for tonight, which has taken us more than half the time we wanted to. But let me tell you this. We got five nights this week. The Physics of the Infinite, Grand Design. And again, I'm going to say this. What we're talking about tonight is where no angel can look, what man cannot discover, and what no demon can really copy. When we're talking about, and if you would really understand, and I know that a lot of us haven't got to study deep theology and so forth, I'm not saying you have to. I love studying it. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books here in theology, which deals in systematic theology the nature of God. Infinite, immortal, invisible, indestructible, sometimes incomprehensible, because God is infinite in wisdom, infinite in knowledge, infinite in power, infinite in presence, infinite, no beginning, no end. We have a hard time conceiving that as finite creatures that live moment by moment in time and space. Time and space is outside of God in the sense of creation. It's part of creation. Time and space is part of the creation of God in the appearance of the material universe and of our existence on the planet. We live in time and space. That's what's happening right now. We're living second by second and minute by minute and half hour by half hour. And we only got 16 minutes left in the sequence of our time together as we keep moving second by second into the future. Every second is another second into the future. Every time I speak, I am speaking as I'm moving into the future. It's not just an hour away or a day away or a week away or a year away or 100 years away. We think in terms of the future as when Christ comes, that's the future. When the Antichrist comes, that's the future. Well, you're right. But even when the future, if you want to say it this way, gets here, or we get there, then that future has a future. When all the hellish chaos breaks out and the Antichrist rises in the world, that's not yet happened. That's future. But when it does occur, when it's actually here, when the voice of an ancient hate is speaking globally to a world, crystallizing that Luciferic globalism, well, there's a future beyond that. There's a future beyond the two witnesses. There's a future beyond the opening of the abyss. And even the future Armageddon, there's a future beyond that. The future's future is in the hands. It's the physics of the infinite. It is the omnion zoe, the eternal life. It is the mortal putting on immortality. That's in the future. That's going to happen to me. If you're a believer in Christ, that's going to happen to you. If Stephen Hawking comes to receive the gift of God in Jesus Christ, which conquers the death code, brings in the gift of eternal life, then on an atomic level, 1 Corinthians 15, In the twinkling of an eye, in the exertion of the power of God on an atomic level, the Greek word atomic is used there, 1 Corinthians 15, the flash, mortal, will put on immortality. Now, the glorification has not yet occurred. There is a type of the glorification. There is a prototype. Transhumanists, once again, relying on human science and human endeavor and human AI and biological evolutionary biology and so forth. Is there any guarantee? Because it does not recognize the cause of the death code and why we die and why we age. Now here's where I'm going to step back for a second. Speaking tonight concerning through time and space, the future. Well, it really bows to the physics of the infinite, because when we talk about the future, and it's not here yet, 7 o'clock p.m. is not here yet tonight. It could be possible that we'll knocked off the air tonight and I don't finish other than the archives. I assume we'll be here for the next 14 minutes. But let me tell you about the future. God is not bound by the issues of the future like we are. You and I, with the issues of the future, I can plan on going somewhere today, have a car accident like I saw today. Many things can interrupt. I am not infinitely sovereign when it comes to the issues of the future. The idea of the future, well, it's a servant. It bows, as creation as a whole bows, to God, the physics of God, the physics of the infinite. The physics of the infinite are simply the way in which God works. You can call it miracles, you can call it supernatural. Yes, everything that God does, there's physics behind it. In the material universe, when Jesus heals somebody instantly, or raises the dead, or walks on water, there's literally physics behind that. It's just beyond humanity. Now, the principle that is driving Stephen Hawking and many others as being grand inquirers. The idea of, well, if we can just learn a little bit more, we can learn how that works. We can learn how, you know, I could explain, well, when Jesus comes into my life, my human spirit is made alive to the Spirit, and the Spirit of God is now alive in me, and the Spirit of God communicates to my human spirit that Christ is in here, that I'm a child of God, and I not only know that and feel that and experience that, and it's consistent, and it's what the Word of God explains. There's no one that can talk me out of it. And I get to be an inquirer to grow deeper and broader. And so, is there physics to this? Well, sure. Can I reach into my skin and grab my human spirit? No. Do I have a human spirit? Yes. The collective of humanity would believe that, though maybe a hardcore naturalist scientist would say, well, I don't see it. That's your problem. There's a lot of things you don't see. That's the issue with the grand inquirer, even Stephen Hawking, of demanding that by our own brains, by our own science, by our own ability, we are going to be able to get to all the answers. It reminds me of the quest in transhumanism. It reminds me of the quest in AI, in many different disciplines. And even in the spiritual occult revealed ideology, if you will, of an evolution to homo lumos, that humanity will evolve. I'm going to look to my left here where I'm at. I'm going to read to you a quote from the book, The Grand Design, by Stephen Hawking. Quote, we wonder, we seek answers, living in this vast world that is by turns kind and cruel, and gazing at the immense heavens above. People have always ask a multitude of questions. How can we understand the world in which we find ourselves? How does the universe behave? What is the nature of reality? Where did all this come from? Did the universe need a creator? Stop. See, all those other questions I've seen in many books and philosophies and so forth, and as a young person and searching and all the things that I had all those questions. But I didn't have this question. And the truth is, until just lately, I don't think I really ever heard anybody. I mean, this is kind of an injection by some and Stephen Hawking. Here it is. Quote, did the universe need a creator? The reason for that question is because in this book, The Grand Design, the goal is to kind of tell us that we don't. As a matter of fact, I can give you the quote out of this book where Stephen Hawking points to humanity, you and I, becoming the lords of creation. He goes on to say, where did all of this come from? Did the universe need a creator? Most of us do not spend most of our time worrying about these issues, but almost all of us worry about them some of the time. Let me give you another quote from the book, The Grand Design, by Stephen Hawking. Quote, scientists have become the bearers of the torch of discovery in our quest for knowledge. Well, is that true? A few years ago, I read a book called The Physics of Immortality, where this individual also said that, you know, he goes through a list of others who never got us there, but now the physicists, in the sense of mathematicians, in the book The Physics of Immortality, they are going to be the ones at the cutting edge to give the answer. Now, Stephen Hawking is going to say here, scientists have come to be the bearers of the torch of discovery in our quest for knowledge. The reason I want to challenge that and challenge Mr. Hawking is this. He will go on in the book, if you do read it, in describing philosophers and scientists where the first ideas of physics and eventually quantum theory, the whole development of science. And as I read the development and the history that he brings out of science and philosophy and what people believed, what I realized was I was reading a history of where they once believed something true and then things changed. So I'm reading a history of scientific flawed information and knowledge. And I don't know if Mr. Hawking was intending to reveal this fact, but it seems as though he lists in the next couple of chapters numerous individuals, scientists, inquirers of the knowledge, including in the area of physics and Einstein, individuals becoming dissatisfied with their own theories, and then those theories being found or proved to be wrong in light of new knowledge. And it seems like the principle of growing into the future, as far as the history is concerned, is that science that once seemed to be true by new science is shown to be false again and again and again and again. So my question is the new science of quantum theory and the new science, which is being used to say we don't need a creator because of spontaneous creation, is it in the future by new science, by new discovery, by new inquirers going to be shown to be flawed and untrue also? My personal prediction is yes. But I already see the flaws. I'm going to read it again. Quote, scientists have become the bearers of the torch of discovery in our quest for knowledge. He goes on to say, the purpose of this book is to give the answers. He's going to give the answers. Quote, that are suggested by recent discoveries and theoretical advances. They lead us to a new picture of the universe and our place in it that is very different from the traditional one and different even from the picture we may have painted just a decade or two ago. In other words, even 10 years ago, the science was flawed and wrong, and we have new information, we have new knowledge, and we have something new. Now that's what I'm saying concerning what we're seeing here. I want to take the last couple of minutes we have to touch on one thing for all of us. Among the Greeks in old classical Greek language and eventually in Koine, there was among the philosophers and others the concept of logos. Logos was what they described the reason behind all that exists. The reason behind, and old philosophers and old scientists believe this principle, that behind all that exists, like Thomas Aquinas and others, God. Or there is a principle, there is a intelligent design, there is something behind all that exists that is bigger than what does exist. So the words in 1 John, hein arkein, hein halagos, kai halagos, hein pros, ton theon kai theos, hein halagos. Very incredible, broad, immense, heavy revelation. In arkein, in beginning. Hein halagos. In the beginning was the Word. Imperfect in the Greek. No beginning, no end, no time to this. Jesus wasn't created. Jesus didn't begin in the sense, well, in the human flesh, yes. But we're talking now logos. No beginning, no ending. Let me read it again. In arkein, hein halagos. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was in the imperfect, always has been, always was, always will be. In the beginning was the self-existent, always existent, eternal Word. Goes on to say, kai halagos, hein pros, pros, face to face, ton theon, with God. Face to face with God. Face to face in full eternal fellowship. And theos, hein, halagos. And God is the Word. The Word is God, was God, has always been God. That which is behind all the material universe, God, the Word, described here as logos. That in biblical revelation, in God's revelation to us, deals with the communicative. The logos. All of creation knows the logos. All of creation knows. And the logos became flesh. I have so much to engage tomorrow night with Stephen Hawking, Grand Design, and with our study on the physics of the infinite. Hey, listen, if you don't know Christ, he's available right now, summoning you, calling you. Visit our website. This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net. Good night, my friends. God bless. Remember us in prayer. Remember us in support. Good night.